Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PBJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. Our show tonight is Whistleblowers. It's brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit. That'll take place July 27th and 28th this year in Washington, D.C. I will be a speaker there, heading up a panel. We'll be talking about judicial integrity, or the lack thereof, and there will be many other people there, people from the USDA whistleblowers, many VA whistleblowers, and which brings us right into tonight's show. We have another whistleblower on from another VA. I know you're all just shocked and surprised. We've had whistleblowers on from the Memphis VA, the Phoenix VA, and others, and so you all know that we're very familiar with this topic and subject. Sean Higgins, of course, out in Tennessee, that has reported repeatedly on the waste and abuse that goes on at that facility. The day that the Whistleblower Protection Act for VA whistleblowers was signed by executive order, Sean got fired for the third time. And I hope he stays home this time. That man has put himself out there like nobody I've ever seen, and things still have not changed, and it's been on the national news, it's been on the local news, it's been reported all over the web, it's been reported in newspapers. Everything, every charge he has made has been documented, and yet nothing at that facility has changed except Sean lost his job. And so that's what you get for whistleblowing. Our guest tonight, and we have a husband and wife team here, Tammy and Mickey Mitchell, and I'd like you to help me welcome them to the show. Tammy, Mickey, welcome on board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Tammy, why don't you give us a little bit of background here and let us know who you are in respect to all of this, and then I want to get into this letter you wrote to a senator, and we'll take it from there. So if you just give us a little background of what happened.
Okay. My name is Tammy Mitchell. Mm-hmm. I've been on for over 25 years. Started working at the Becky.
Tammy, Becky. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes.
Could you go to a direct line on that? We get feedback really bad when you use one.
Okay. Right here. How's that?
Okay. That's better. Thank you.
Okay. I've got feedback.
I'll be darned.
Can you hear me with the feedback?
Yes, no, I can't hear any feedback on you. No.
Okay. Well, I'll try to keep talking even though it's repeat. I'll keep going.
Okay.
But I've been a registered nurse for over 25 years. Mm-hmm. I started at the Beckley VA Medical Center in Beckley, West Virginia in 2006, working the floor as a floor nurse. And I thought everything was great. Loved working there, loved my job. Then when I became a supervisor in 2009, then that's when I started realizing there was major problems at this hospital.
Oh, wow.
I started reporting wrongdoings, and we'll get into that, as you said.
Yeah.
From 2009 to 2012. And actually the same person that I reported to was the one that I came off work in 2012, and then in 2015, she terminated me. I was off on medical leave with a doctor's excuse for 3 years, and I was trying to get my workers' comp. Plus, I was supposed to be a protective whistleblower.
Right.
But she terminated me. I put my license on hold because it was $65 to save, and so I put them on hold since I wasn't actively working as a registered nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent me a letter of terminate 2 days later.
Oh.
because the letter said I did not renew my license in a timely response.
Oh.
And I wasn't working. Yes.
Imagine that.
They held my job.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years. There was somebody in my position doing the acting.
Wow. Good Lord. Tammy, I want to get to this letter. This letter really blew me away. And you wrote it to Congressman Rahal and Senator Joe Manchin. This was in September of 2014. And it's titled, The Serious Wrongdoing and Gross Mismanagement Concerning the Beckley VA Medical Center. And, of course, you signed it, Tammy Mitchell, RN, Home-Based Primary Care Program Director at the VA Beckley Medical Center. And you say, dear so-and-so, and you explain who you are. And you said, my purpose to this letter is to disclose to you at least 13 serious wrongdoings conducted by some of the employees at the VA Medical Center. I discovered immediately within taking that position and within the course of my employment till you had to leave on medical leave. I want to read through this list. Wrongful patient deaths, intimidation, reprisals, reprimands, death threats, fraud, waste, and abuse, violation of laws, rules, or regulation, mismanagement, gross waste of funds, abuse of authority, substantial and specific danger to public health and safety, VA-related criminal activity, systemic patient safety issues, gross mismanagement of VA programs, waste of VA resources, and misconduct senior officials. And then you went on and you gave a very complete list of the people involved in those things. What was the response? This letter is quite detailed and goes on, but what was your response from these people when you sent this to them?
Okay. Marty, I wanted to make another statement about my nursing license. They didn't laugh. I just put them on hold. They were full, unrestricted,
yes.
But they didn't laugh, so I just placed them on hold.
Right.
Okay, I just wanted to make that clear.
Yes. So it wasn't like, you know, you let your license lapse and didn't do what you were supposed to do. You did
exactly
what you were supposed to do.
Right. And the day I got the letter, I called the RN board. They activated them right then. I mean, over the phone. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Gee, many Christmas.
But this letter, I tried reporting the wrongdoings to the OIG.
Uh-huh.
They would not listen. I've got documentation where I talk to people there. And it took me getting this letter and sending it, and Rahal's office sending it up for me to get any kind of attention. And it was after they sent it up that we got a response back from them.
Uh-huh.
Rahal did. I didn't get anything from Mr. Manchin's office, but I did from Rahal.
Wow.
Which did lead to a criminal investigation December 1st, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And the criminal part was completed with me, my lawyer present, and two from the OIG. It was intense. It was long. We gave a lot of crucial evidence. And I was told at that time that there would be at least four other departments in the OIG that would have to complete their parts of my allegations before they could do a complete report. That never happened.
I'm so surprised. Go figure. Yeah. This is a method of operation that I see repeated over and over in these federal agencies, especially where there's a lot of money that's flying away for reasons you can't understand. But this is just a method of operation. And after you named off all of these people, you were told never to place a patient on the hospital's EW. What is that?
electronic wait list.
Okay. But you were supposed to keep them on a secret wait list in your HBPC file. What was that?
Right. Home-based primary care.
Okay.
File.
And you were
but
not
the
to
thing
show
was,
it. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say this is, you say I was told never to show it to anyone outside the VA. On this file, we had an approximate 37 veterans who potentially expired before we could get them admitted to our program. Holy, and they never investigated this, right?
Well, they didn't put out a report May the 8th, 2017. But Marty, that only came about after me and my husband decided to go to Washington, D.C., and we met with two young men in Ron Johnson's office. We met with the Senator Capito's office, and we also met, well, that was in Martinsburg, and then we also met with Congressman Jenkins' office.
Okay.
And it
and
took
response-
us doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
To get them to do some kind of a report.
Oh, okay.
And the report is, I've got a copy of it right here. I'm getting ready to review the things that are in it because it's just, it's not good. It's just,
okay.
It looks good on paper.
Yeah.
For the VA.
Yes.
But they did acknowledge the wait list.
Oh, yeah. And for those who are wondering why these wait lists, why they would even create these, the bonuses that the management of VA is not supposed to be getting are all tied to the numbers they report to the federal government, to the central office. So they have to manipulate those numbers in order to get their bonus. And you talk about here about this, your program being needed to be shut down immediately because it wasn't being run right. And upper management decided we had to discharge 50 patients immediately. And they were patients that needed our care so bad, and the majority of them were not physically able to get to the hospital. You go on in a little bit later and say, I feel that due to shutdown of the program by the Richmond VAMC, due to mismanagement of the program by Beckley, VAMC caused or substantially contributed to the death of 37 veterans.
Correct.
What?
Right. And the report that the OIG put out, the acknowledgement, the wait list, they said, in effect, that since no one died, no harm.
Oh.
You know, no foul, no harm. Yeah.
Good heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I think of that? This went on, too, and you talk about you received, and this is also a standard method of operation, death threats on your VA cell phone. The last one said, this is one of many of the Avengers. I'm going to be coming to see you very soon. And you contacted your brother, who's a state trooper, who contacted an FBI agent named Mike, and you give his number. And he gave you the name and number of Paul Powis from the OIG. You told him everything.
Right.
He told you he would call you back after he returned from his vacation in August of 2013. And he never did, even though you've repeatedly called and you list all the dates and times. Apparently, he's still on vacation. He's never gotten back to you, has he?
No. Well, what it was is the things that I was reporting was so damaging. I mean, and veterans dying.
Right.
And the thing, so much corruption. I don't think nobody wanted to take this.
Right.
Nobody, they listened to it and they knew that they should. But then when it come down to it, I think somebody was putting stops to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Marty, I was going to tell you that wait list.
Yes.
See, at the time when I worked there, I didn't know that it wasn't right.
Uh-huh.
To have that wait. I knew we weren't supposed to put people on the electronic wait list because they said unless you can get them off, you know, like within, it was, I thought it was like 72 hours or something.
Mm-hmm.
But we always used that. It wasn't till the Phoenix whistleblower come out, Brandon Coleman, and that secret wait list I started looking back and I thought, oh my God, that's exactly what we had.
Yes.
And then there was 37 veterans that died while waiting on that list before they got our care.
And didn't I think somewhere around 200 were known to have died directly as a result of being put on one of these hidden lists. One of the things I've screamed about when I had Brandon on the show was when he talked about them putting their budgets include money for artwork and redecorating their offices. That's
mm-hmm.
important. And he talked about them putting a rock that cost $600,000 in the reception area of the Clinic for Blinded Veterans. I honestly almost screamed, Tammy. I thought, and at the same time, they're saying they didn't have money for programs for this and that, something else.
Exactly. It's just like the home base program. They've got probably up in the low millions to start this program up. They took all that money, but yet the program from 2007, when I started in it, to 2009, that I became a supervisor, it was not run right. Upper management had no clue because they were running a pharmacy right out of our office.
Jiminy Christmas.
The doctor was delivering drugs. It was in his bags. It was in the desk. It was everywhere. And then it was not until I became a supervisor, they sent me to Asheville to get training.
Uh-huh.
And within 15 minutes, that program director said our program needed to be shut down. That's
Why?
How bad it was.
Oh, because of what was wrong. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And you're talking about the money wasted on it. And like the way Brandon was talking, in our program, we got over $500,000 for telehealth equipment. And it's a wonderful thing for the veterans, Marty.
Uh-huh.
They go in the homes and this equipment set up. And then like if a veteran got sick, they could call us and we could actually hear his breathing, see his heart rate and everything by a monitor.
Uh-huh.
And that's still not in use, sitting in boxes, and I do have proof of that.
Do you know, Sean reported the same thing at that Memphis facility of finding over $1 million worth of equipment still sitting in the crates in the lower level of that hospital that had been sitting there for a couple of years.
Yep, I've got pictures. I've got a lot. My lawyer does, Michael Eisenberg out of Washington, D.C., has got all the evidence. Every accusation I made, I have gave proof of it, including a doctor that they gave me had been caught on the premises under the influence.
Uh-huh.
They gave her to my program. She had to sit there for 2 months because she wasn't credentialed to do anything but CMP exams. So she got to sit on her computer and play games for 2 months while my staff is working hard and they couldn't understand why I'm not doing anything about it, but my hands were tied.
Right.
She wrecked one government vehicle and it was covered up. And then right when I come off work, Marty, because I almost had a nervous breakdown from all the stuff that I was reporting and nothing being done about it, she wrecked another government vehicle. And nobody in my program knew anything about it. She couldn't even tell them where she wrecked at.
What?
She said somewhere between three counties. And this same lady, about 2 months before, me, myself, plus about seven other of the employees that worked in home-based primary care, wrote her up for being under the influence. But you know what? They wouldn't send her to a drug test. I was getting ready to send her one, but the chief of staff calls the secretary and give him a heads up. So he tells her and she leaves. But
she
collected off of her EEO for them, I guess, being on the premises drinking. I saw the check for $20,000. So you take somebody that's in the wrong, they win their EEO.
Uh-huh.
I'll file an EEO, and they just closed my case.
Yeah.
They ordered a judge in 2013. A supervisor judge ordered the Beckley VA to set up a hearing, and they totally ignored it. Just ignored it.
Oh, my God.
August the 29th, 2013 was the date of that letter.
You put in here also as money. I'm just stunned here. I truly am. That the HBPC medical director, as well as the nurse practitioner, was falsifying infection control records, fraudulent documentation stating patients had fevers, coughs with sputum, mm-hmm. chest x-rays, etc. Antibiotics were ordered for patients, but no home visits were made to determine what they were documenting. No home visits were made.
None.
And
none.
Nobody thought there was anything wrong with that.
I reported it and kept reporting. See, and what the OIG did in their report, they just went back the records like from 2012 to 2015. Well, I wasn't there, and that's not the dates I gave them
mm-hmm.
to look at. But that's
right.
How they get around it.
Yeah. Yep.
And like the cancer, giving
mm-hmm.
a patient morphine.
Right.
Stating he had cancer. He didn't have cancer.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Because I was called in by, they actually pulled a doctor out of my program. And when the doctor that took over seeing the patient called me in her office and said, why is this patient take on morphine for cancer? He doesn't have cancer. I couldn't tell her. I said, there's no answer.
Yep. You also
and this
talk-
is going on all the...
Yeah, go ahead.
For our veterans, because
mm-hmm.
my husband is a veteran.
Right.
And we did not know this, Marty. We thought most of the veterans that go there
uh-huh.
think everything is great because they get treated
because
their labs, they tell them are good. Everything is good. And
uh-huh.
they get anything they want. They get their meds. They get their glasses, their hearing aids. Well, Marty,
right.
That's the way my husband was. Until 2014, he asked me to get in my healthy vet to look at his record and help him get a hearing increase.
Mm-hmm.
When I got in his record, I had a setback of 2 weeks, a mental breakdown because the stuff I found in his record that he had been neglected.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah, they found a positive ANA in 2003.
And what is that?
Nothing done.
What is that damage?
Well, he can have some kind of systemic disease, like lupus.
Okay.
And nothing done. He had a urinary obstruction that was found in 2008. The man was going over there because he couldn't pee.
Mm-hmm.
Urinate good. Stop and start, stop and start. Well, nothing done. This was 2014. I read consults. His doctor there, he liked, and he will not let him take the fall because they will try to put it on him.
Right.
Just like they are right now with the chief of staff that's no longer there. They're trying to put a lot of stuff that is his fault, it's his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And in his defense, he was wrong because he canceled some consults.
Uh-huh.
But I can read in the notes that the cancer doctor got several consults for Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
His labs have been low since 1998. From 2014 back to 1998, his labs, white blood count low, red blood count low, hemoglobin low, hemocrat low, platelets low. He's in moderate to severe renal failure. Nobody
wow.
told us. The cancer doctor there wrote in his notes, said, maybe your patient is a heavy drinker.
Oh.
He said, I would appreciate you handling these, like, minor issues on your own. Yes. And
oh,
then
maybe
the,
he is.
The,
no
the,
evidence that he was, but maybe he is.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe your patient is a heavy drinker.
Oh.
I mean,
well.
But my husband, Mickey, has never he seen the cancer doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He can't tell you what he looked like. The urologist had got several consults. He couldn't tell you what he looks like. He's never seen neither one of them. They can't both cancel the consult. The urologist say, we'll do another ultrasound in a year. We'll check him in a year. But moderate to severe renal failure. At that time, Marty, I got him to 10 outside doctors.
Okay.
And got him surgery. Several things went on with him. And they let him until they fired me. And after they fired me, now he can't even get to see a cancer outside doctor. They said if he wants to see one, he has to pay for it himself.
Really? Really?
Yes. Or see the one there. Who said
well,
he, yeah. And he
yeah.
is not going to see that doctor.
I don't blame him a bit. I don't blame him
yeah.
a bit. You, I want to go on to the federal tort claim letter, if we could.
Okay.
And now, how did you come about doing this, Tammy?
The tort claim letter?
Yes.
Well, we wrote it up after
uh-huh.
all the stuff that I found, which weighed approximately 5 pounds when we sent it in.
Oh, my gosh.
But we had to because veterans don't know that they're dying at these VAs.
Right.
We have, he's done two funerals of two of our friends, three funerals.
Mm-hmm.
And they are young. I mean, they're not like 90 and 100 years old. The one had lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They were treating him with inhalers. Never knew anything. He started spitting up blood. They asked to go to another VA. They went to Richmond VA. They did one x-ray. They said, this man is in stage 4 lung cancer. They gave him 6 months to live. That doctor up there, now he was a VA doctor. He said a first-year medical student could tell that he
mm-hmm.
had lung cancer. And he's one of our neighbors. He's gone. The other one had, they were treating him for like gastritis and stuff.
Yes.
Come to find out, his brother got him and took him to another hospital. He had pancreatic cancer. And he didn't live long. And he suffered. That man suffered. He really did, Marty.
You found out, too, through this My Healthy Vet, that he had ischemic heart disease, coronary artery disease, chronic
yes.
obstructive pulmonary disease, chronic renal mm-hmm. kidney failure, severe anemia,
yep.
splenomegaly. Is that correct?
Yeah. His spleen's enlarged.
Yeah. Yeah. And the prostate, enlarged prostate. BPH, what is BPH?
That's with his prostate, too.
Okay. And bladder obstruction and leukopenia.
Yep.
What
That's
is
all
that?
Of his white blood count stuff being low.
Okay, and he had never been told of any of this?
Nope. He knew he had high blood pressure.
Yeah.
But no.
Wow. Yeah.
And Marty, here's the thing, too. I was going to tell you, my lawyer did call in. He said he's on hold.
Oh,
I think
okay.
he wants to add something. If we got
okay.
time, you can.
Yes, of course. This may be him.
But I
here.
Wanted to tell you.
Let's go ahead, Tammy,
oh, go ahead.
And then I'll bring this line live.
Okay. In 2011, right before I come off from work, my husband had a temperature of 105. He was confused. He didn't even know who I was.
Right.
I took him to the VA ER. They admitted him. He was there a whole week. Every night. I mean, I stayed with him every night. Then got up and showered, went to work
mm-hmm.
there at the VA. And, you know, we're not allowed to get into our friends, family members, records, neighbors.
Right.
You know, we could be fired.
Right.
You know, and I never thought about it because every day the doctor told me we're running every test we can but we cannot find out what's wrong with him. Every day, Marty, I was told that.
Oh, geez.
Well, it wasn't, and they discharged him at the end of the week because he was doing better.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I got in my healthy vet and read his records, he was in acute renal failure. His kidneys was almost shut completely down. His labs was so critical that they had to be called directly to the doctor twice. And that doctor called the urologist and cancer doctor to come see him. They didn't. They wouldn't. Mm-mm.
They didn't come and see him? They didn't even come and see him at all?
Nope. Not at all.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and that doctor told me at the end of the week, he said, Tammy, he said, since we can't find anything wrong, he said, I've got to give him a diagnosis of a urinary tract infection, even though his CNS, culture and sensitivity of his urine came back clear, nothing growing. He said, I've got to give him something to justify him being in this hospital all week.
Oh.
And I said, well, if that's what you have to do. But, you know, we didn't know no different. But the ER doctor had wrote he was in acute renal failure. That was in his notes. That's how bad it is. And that's why we're trying, Marty, to get the word out, because veterans are dying. And,
yes.
and nobody is listening to us. And they're just covering it up. Or they're hoping employees like me that are whistleblowers
mm-hmm.
give up, get tired, can't afford it. And we all can't.
Exactly.
But
and
this is... Go ahead.
What I was going to say, Tammy, is... This is exactly the position all whistleblowers who come out of these federal agencies are put in. They bankrupt you. They ruin your name. They falsify records. They lie. They will get up in front of Congress and lie. They will lie to each other. They'll lie to anybody that comes down the street. They will do everything they can to destroy your life. The death threats, the threats of retaliation, the open retaliation. This goes on in our government, And the sore spots for me in all of this is the VA, most particularly because we made a deal with these people that if they would stand up and go to war, supposedly on our behalf, that if anything happened to them or they became sick, when they came home, we'd take total care of them. They didn't have to worry about anything. That's part of the contract. But the truth, the reality of it is, it has become a money mill for people at the top, and the people at the bottom are fighting to get care. And this is just starting to be exposed. Tammy, I honestly feel like this, with as much has been exposed about the VA just in the last year, the whole thing needs to be shut down and maybe put in receivership for one reason or another, and then revamped. And supposedly Trump just fired 500 at the top and 200 whistleblowers. So we'll see how that goes. I want to get your attorney on here.
Okay. And I want to elaborate on what they're doing right now and my opinion on what's going on that, if you don't care.
Sure. Go ahead.
Oh, well, you can bring him on first.
He's on now.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Tammy. It's Mike. My name is Michael Eisenberg.
Uh-huh.
I'm a solo practitioner here in Washington, D.C. I represent mm-hmm. veterans, military members, and federal employee on federal employee employment issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you became when you discovered this case, Mike, what was I can't imagine being an attorney and coming up on something like this. Your head had to have exploded. I'm just a small-time radio host, and sometimes these stories, honest to God, I just want to get up and start slamming my head in the wall. How can they do this? How can they get away with this?
Well, now, with all due respect, I can't talk about the specifics of my client's case, but I can talk in generalities.
Yes.
And, you know, in litigation, there are three magic words: delay, delay, delay. The longer you delay a case, the longer you get to hang on to the money. So if they put people like Tammy and others through the ringer, they get to hang on to their money.
Right.
They don't have to take responsibility for what they did. more unlikely that the information will get out about what the wrongdoing was,
because mm-hmm.
they're not admitting to anything. And all of these agreements are always confidential. So you don't hear, you know, what, how much a case settled for, you know, what happened to the person. They just disappear. And
yes.
it's unfortunate. And, you know, Tammy was talking about a variety of cases where there's medical malpractice. Well, you know, if you don't know better to get an attorney,
mm-hmm.
you're going to lose your case. And then when you do get an attorney, those are difficult to do because these FTCA claims aren't easy. And to
right.
be blunt, these FTCA claims, specifically the VA, it's hard to get the real value on that because ultimately
right.
you're going to have to settle the case. And ultimately, someone has to eat the costs. And, you know, a lot of attorneys don't see these as big dollars.
Right.
So they don't want to get involved.
Oh.
Now, I'm a solo, so I have some flexibility. But even
right.
then, you know, I have to ask the client to cover the costs because you're going to
right.
need an expert or two.
Right.
And they're not cheap. And, you know,
no.
I've had plenty of clients, you know, respectfully turn me down. Like, look, I'm happy to take your case, but I can't cover your costs.
Right.
You know, and, you know, FTCA claims do not allow attorneys to charge a fee up front. It's all contingency fee. And remember, there's a difference between
yes.
fees. Yeah, it's a difference yeah. between fees and costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're hiring me to drive your car, not put gas in it.
Right, right. And as long as you're working on a contingency, if it is lost,
right.
You get nothing, they get nothing, and the bad
That's
guys
correct.
Get to walk away. And
right.
And these things take so much time. One of the guests I've had on my show, Mike, it was Denise Calden, who's written the book, you know, Stall, Deny, and Hope They Die, about the hamster
yeah.
wheel
yeah.
process at the VA. And she just won her case after 20 years. They were ordered to settle up with her immediately, and they still have not done it. And, you know, I mean, this is just unforgivable in my mind that this goes on. May I ask if you deal with many of the cases? Now, I know Tammy's husband, Mickey, is a Vietnam vet, and I've done several shows on Fridays with the Vietnam veterans dealing with glioblastoma from Agent Orange. Have you hear of many of those where you are?
Of the specific medical issue that you referred to, no. Of Agent Orange, yes.
Yes.
If I recall correctly, I was one of the first four cases that was able to prove service connection of Agent Orange and service in South Korea during the Vietnam War era.
Mm-hmm.
Because South Korea and a couple of the other areas aren't deemed presumptive.
Uh-huh.
And they
right.
were harder to prove. But through some great evidence that we were able to gather, we were able to show that my client at that time was spraying the Agent Orange throughout the base.
Yeah.
And that another client had was able to prove that there were storage barrels of Agent Orange throughout the locale of where he was stationed.
One of the things I found out in dealing with that, and my first husband, like I say, was a Vietnam vet who suffers from Agent Orange complications to this day,
mm-hmm.
and was that the first thing we had to do, and they still have to do, and I'm sure Tammy's husband Mickey has had to do, is he has to prove that he was there. He has to prove he was anywhere where they sprayed it. He has to prove he had boots on the ground, and hence we've seen Blue Water Navy Group come up, because
mm-hmm.
I had a brother on the Intrepid who died of early age of cancer related to the spraying of the crews by our jets at night. And he died of multiple cancers at the age of 49.
I'm sorry.
And yeah.
I'm sorry.
And so this is a touchy issue with me about this. But there again, when we tried to get him help, this having to prove, they even pulled his name off the roster of the Intrepid at one point, and I threatened to absolutely go ballistic if they didn't put it back on there, trying to say he was never in the service. And I had pictures of him standing on the deck. But getting to it, back to our case at hand here, I know you can't speak specifically about it, but when you see reports like this, what Tammy and Mickey have put together, what she has documented. When you see this coming from people inside these facilities, what's your general reaction to that? I mean, what goes through your head at that point?
Well, I mean, it's just utter disgust, because the bulk of the work that I do is actually veterans benefits appeals.
Right.
And I see too many veterans denied treatment or denied the service connection because people aren't doing their jobs. Now, that's not
right.
to say there are good people who do their work
mm-hmm.
and do their work admirably.
Right.
But, you know, there's so many people that aren't doing their job. It's the traditional,
right.
you know, entitled government employee that, you know,
yep.
hey, it doesn't matter whether I do my job or not, I'm getting paid, so I'm going to go goof off, or I'm not going
right.
to do my job correctly.
Yep.
I had represented a doctor who did his job correctly and
mm-hmm.
did his job, you know, to the up-to-date medical standards, and yet he was mm-hmm. being discriminated against, and he was wrongfully discharged.
That's because upper management puts a stop to him. They
mm-hmm.
stop them if they're doing it right.
Yep.
Yes.
They stop them if they're not playing the game.
Yes.
Right.
And what I've seen happen at these facilities, they just had that big support rally in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, for that Dr. Klein at the facility there, who refused, just like you, Tammy, to go along with this system and what was being done to the vets. And they had for more than a year, and Sean, same thing done to him at the VA in Memphis, stuck him in a cubicle the size of a small closet, maybe 4x6, with a desk and nothing to do. And they've been paying, we have been paying this doctor for more than a year. He's not allowed to see patients. And
yeah,
they were going to fire
that.
Him. Yes, they were going to fire him. And so the rally was that day. In support of him, they had people come. I had whistleblowers from the VA come from as far away as New Orleans in support of that man. How that turned out, we have not been able to find out. Whether they went on and dismissed him, whether they let him go back to work. He was well-liked by the patients because he actually took care of them. But you're exactly right. They have no intention. They don't want to. There's too much money to be made doing things the wrong way, and nobody will stop them. And even when they get caught, there's no penalty. They get to keep their job, or they get moved
exactly.
to another facility, you know, and get a promotion.
Transferred.
And yes.
That just keeps the confusion, Marty, because if they're transferred, then the new directors can say, well, I'm new. Well, I'm not aware of that. Well, that didn't
yes.
happen while I was here.
Right.
Or I can't remember. It's been so many years.
Yep.
That's what's happening.
You know, the irony is, too, that when cases like Tammy's and others settle or they get some sort of judgment in their favor, there's never
mm-hmm.
the removal of the
right
the personnel who was doing the wrong thing. It's, you know, they may settle the case. They may get a judgment. But the wrongdoers, they're not disciplined. They're not removed. They're still there. They're
nope.
transferred. And that's the disgusting part, because, you know, people like Tammy, their lives are ruined, just like you were talking about earlier. Their reputations
mm-hmm.
are ruined. You know, try to get back into the workforce after going through something like this.
Yes. And they
and you're
going to
have
damage.
If you're a whistleblower, if you file an EEO complaint or a Merit System Protection Board, you're considered a troubled or a problem employee.
Yes.
That nobody wants to touch.
Uh-huh. Now, see, if I had a business, Mike, and somebody knew that things were going wrong in it, and they came to me and said, look, this is going wrong, and these people are doing this and that, now that's the person I'd promote. I want that person. You know,
that's not how
it
works at the VA.
Exactly. It's not
how
it works at any federal agency. Go ahead.
All of my evaluations that I have are excellent, and they're all signed off by the same lady who fired me. In 2011, they gave me the RN of the Year award because I worked hard. I worked hard. Everybody there that knows me knows that. But it's when I wouldn't turn a blind eye, and I kept reporting and reporting. I even tried to reprimand someone And instead of them, and this employee was wrong in all the things they did, they removed him out of my program and handed me a reprimand.
And I
asked, what was that for? And they told me it was because I sent an email out about that doctor being impaired to someone that wasn't a supervisor, because I wanted everybody to know
right.
that she was driving impaired. But he was he wasn't a supervisor. But that's what they did. But that had been but the reprimand didn't say dependent on my work ethic. It said dependent
right.
on my behavior.
Oh.
For the next 3 years. That was gonna be in my file.
See,
and
did
I did file a EEO on that, and they had to take it out because it was unjust.
Right.
And then my boss wrote me up for taking off a week in March of September 2011. I took a week off. He had one of his hips replaced in Huntington VA. It was approved. I was paid for. In March, he had his other hip done. I took another 40 hours off, and it was approved. I was paid for. In February, she had just become my boss, but in April, she wrote me up for those two times. She said I used too much CV time.
Excuse me?
And it was wrong. You can actually use 110 CV hours, but I had plenty of vacation, sick time.
Yes.
And I asked her, I said, why did you go back to September of 2011? She said, oh, that just came to me.
Oh.
And that's what... Yeah, it's intimidation. I got a target
yes.
on my back.
Yes.
But if you keep, I was told if I kept my mouth shut, things would go a lot better for me.
Yes, exactly. And that we hear this all the time, and they want to keep your mouth, you to keep your mouth shut. Because like I say, these people up at the top are making money, and the people, it trickles down. And whoever will participate gets little perks and bonuses.
Yes.
And promotions and this and that and something else if you just go along with the program. And unfortunately, Tammy, as you pointed out, this is costing the lives of veterans. They're dying as a result of this mismanagement. This is happening all over the country. The over medication of these people. And I call that cost shifting. Somebody said, well, it costs so much to medicate them. You know, they wouldn't do that if they didn't really need it. Well, of course they would. If you trade off a substantial expense right now and you medicate somebody to damn death, which they do, you cannot give drugs like Haldol, Zyprexa, Seroquel in tandem in these massive doses. And these guys die in their sleep. Oh, they didn't take their medication right. They committed suicide. And
exactly.
Yes.
You're exactly right, Marty.
Yep. And so and these are deadly medications on their own. They should not be prescribed to anyone on the planet, much less an injured veteran or someone who is sick. Go ahead.
One of the outside urologists that we went to, nephrologist, one of the medicines Mickey was on, HCTZ, he'd been on it since 1998, and that doctor said, what is wrong with them at the VA? Said, that's one drug that he should not be on with being in renal failure.
Exactly.
But, Marty, one more thing I wanted to take, because
yes.
I know we're running out of time, but Mickey has a remand out since 2014. He's been trying to get his Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at a note right here from April the 1st, 2015. It was from a doctor in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mickey was going to go up in this program for 2 weeks. It was an Agent Orange program, WRIIST note.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor had to evaluate him before he could come up after 2 weeks. This doctor wrote in his note, unclear why veteran is not service connected for ischemic heart disease.
Oh,
because it's all through his chart.
Yeah,
he's got documentation after document, and plus he's on this medicine. And he said, "Is this for Parkinson's disease? What's it for?" There's no notes. It's unclear why you've got the veteran on this medicine.
Those medications you talk about are the cause of Parkinson's disease, and they know that. And to continue those medications will exacerbate the Parkinson's and make it go faster. When I talked about them over-medicating them and they claiming they committed suicide by taking their prescriptions in tandem, they're not to be prescribed to people with head injury or concussion or any kind of brain damage, you know, any sort of problems like that. And they do it all day long, like I say, in these massive doses that make them dysfunctional, that cause them to sleep forever and ever. I'll take it some more. And this is one of the reasons, Tammy, I believe that they want to start chipping all of the military personnel. So they said they could monitor their medications, you know, without them having to come in. They want to make sure they're taking that crap in the doses that they prescribed, because like I say, it's cost shifting. It may cost a few bucks right now, but in the long run, if you can claim that veteran committed suicide, you've saved 20, 30, 40 years or more of veteran benefits that you don't have to pay out.
Exactly.
And that is exactly what I think is going on. Yep.
That they're wanting them to die off.
Yes.
And it's just like the new reform that they're trying to do, the accountability. This is my feeling on that. I've read some of it. A lot of them that are being fired are in housekeeping. They're in the kitchen. It's going to be a joke. They will put the blame on, I mean, they'll show numbers and statistics, but it's not going to be the ones that are involved in these whistleblower cases, the ones that need to be fired and are not.
Right.
It's just going to be a joke.
Well, and there again, like I say, and it's already a joke, because I firmly believe that at least 95% of all the administrators of VA facilities should be fired on the spot immediately. And then just start working your way down, because the problem isn't at the bottom. The problem is at the top. You know, when you go to take down a tree that's, you know, 200 feet tall, you don't just mow it off at the base. You start topping it out and bringing it down slowly. And that's what they're going to have to do with this, because there's just no way. This is too corrupt. There's too much money flowing. And this thing of and in the USDA, it's the same way. You screw up like this, and they say, oh, we took care of the problem. What they mean is they took that person, moved them over somewhere else. Now you got a new deadbeat in there. And this is exactly what it is. They just keep churning these people through there. They just go to a different facility, and they start in all over again. And we keep the program running.
The motto at our VAs, Marty, is, and I'm being nice, but this is not what they all say. It's mess up, move up. Because I had good employees coming to me saying, you know, Tammy, I think I'm really going to mess up good so I can get me a better job. Now,
there
that's
you go.
Sad.
Well, it is, but, you know, that's a very common thought throughout these VAs. You know, if you want to get anywhere in the VA, just screw up. Just mess things up, and you'll get a promotion. And that's the way it is.
Well, we've got
to do
something, because our veterans are dying.
Yes,
I said they're dying a slow, torturous death. Because they're dying and they don't even know they're dying.
Exactly. And they're hoping they hurry up and do it. And
exactly.
So they don't want to take care of them. I remember at one point Obama said, when he was talking about making veterans pay for their medical care, he said they knew what they were signing up for. This from a man who never signed up for anything. And you know what I'm saying? He there was no way he ever put on a uniform. And that's what really irks me about this. Many of these same people making decisions about all of this and talking about, oh, yeah, we're going to fix it. We're going to have never put on a uniform. They've never volunteered.
Never.
They've never served.
Nope.
And they have the nerve to treat these people this way when they come home and talk about, well, you know, do you know that there is a thing? I can't remember if it's in the which committee it's in. I want to say the judiciary, but I'm probably wrong there. But there is a suggestion, nobody would put their name to it, that veterans should have to now pay $2,400 if they want to access any of their benefits when they come home. Excuse me?
Wow.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
And this is an agency that wastes how many billions of dollars every year? It's disgusting. Yeah. Mike, I want to get you back in here just for a second. You want to give your name and your law firm, and if people want to contact you, where they can do that.
Sure, that's very kind of you. Again, it's Michael D. J. Eisenberg, Michael D. J. Eisenberg. I'm here in Washington, D.C. I'm a solo practitioner of the law office of Michael D. J. Eisenberg. I can be reached at area code 202-558-6371. And my email is Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, at Eisenberg, that's E-I-S-E-N-B-E-R-G, then the minus sign, and then the word law office, that's singular, not plural, LAWOFFICE.com.
Thank you. And
thank you
for coming in this evening. That was
my
that was kind
Thanks
of
again.
You to do it. Tammy,
Marty,
do you have
can
any?
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Well, I was going to tell you, Mike Balt is the one who got our story out. He's got an article out today with about two more. There's an actual whistleblower that's working there now, Gavin
mm-hmm.
Banhoof.
Mm-hmm.
And he had found out that that they were denying veterans treatment, saying they made too much money, and that is not at all what it's supposed to be. But
right.
Plus Ron Alexander worked with Ray Hall's office and knows about 20 whistleblowers that and their cases and stuff. And he's a really good source that people need to talk with. And plus, Fox News, Will Carr from Fox News has been working on stuff to try to get us on the air.
Excellent. Yeah, Mike Volpe, I put his article up about you. It's on the front page of my website, the PPJ Gazette. And so it's up there today. And holy cow, this has been something. I got just a few minutes here. Tammy, Mickey, both of you, thank you for coming on the show. Mike, thank you for contributing. I truly appreciate it. It's always good to hear from professionals in this. I want to remind everybody of the Whistleblower Summit that's going to take place July 27th and 28th in Washington, D.C., and that these shows are presented in coordination with Marcel Reed, who sets up that summit every year. I will be there speaking this year on a panel on judicial integrity, the title of which just makes me want to bust out laughing. But anyway, I will be there, so if y'all can come, please do. To everybody who tuned in tonight, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And Tammy, we'll be keeping up with you, and you tell Mike Volpe if he does any more articles, make sure we get them. We'll publish them. Be glad to put it up. Get the word out. And to everyone
we
this
will.
Evening, go ahead.
And Mickey would like to call in the morning maybe on your show and talk.
That would be fine. The same number. It's at 11 Central. And so that would work just fine. And so maybe we can find you a little bit of comfort and help there. Again, everybody, thank you for tuning in this evening. I truly appreciate it and appreciate the participation. We'll be back next week with another Whistleblower show. And Tammy, Mickey, I hope you have a good evening. We'll talk to you all
thank
later,
you
everybody.
So much,
all right. Bye. Good night.
Good night.